I want to encourage your hearts tonight with the Word of God on this day before Thanksgiving. I shared with you just a few messages beginning in this month of November regarding some of the little words with big meaning from the New Testament and from the Old. And tonight I want to kind of conclude that with a simple outline dealing with 2 Kings chapter 4. My heart has been so encouraged this year as we have been studying in our 10th grade Bible class in 1st and 2nd Samuel, and we're getting into 1st and 2nd Kings here shortly, and just reading ahead. And the encouragement that God gave to His people in Old Testament times, and I want to just say, 1st and 2nd Kings, if you want to learn about life, you study those books. You will see every aspect of life in those books. And, you know, God encouraged His servant, Elisha, with a lady who just took up a burden. She went to her husband and said, "We got a building project I want you to do." Have you heard of honeydew jobs? You men, I should see both hands popping up. A honeydew job. I like to kid around with a couple of men in school. I see them in the parent line, and I said, "Well, we got Thanksgiving week. I'm sure that means that on Friday, you're going to have lots of work to do at home." "Yes, yes, my wife's already given me a list of, I got to put up lights, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that." And we're all familiar with honeydew jobs. Well, 2 Kings chapter 4 begins with verse 8 concerning the burden that a woman had to help one of God's servants, Elisha. Let's begin reading at verse 8. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, 'Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither.' And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite.' And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, 'Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?' And she answered." Now notice her response. It's a moving response, a humble response. "I dwell among my own people. I'm not looking for anything from the king. I'm not looking for anything from the captain of the host. I dwell among my own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son in that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him in the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Interesting here. Does she tell her husband about what happened to the boy? We have no record that she does. She said, "I'm going to go see the man of God. Everything will be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.' And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. Now, I took the time to read that account because it's such a beautiful account. And it illustrates for us the testimony of a family, an older family, that had a young boy, and this boy died, and the circumstances that surrounded his death. And I put together just a very simple outline, kind of highlighting the truth here about the attitude of giving with thanks. Now, we talked about big little words. I want to talk about the word with tonight. Giving with thanks. Not thanksgiving, but giving with thanks. You know, we like to receive. I was talking to the students in chapel the other day about the 10 lepers, Luke chapter 17, and how these lepers, when told of Jesus, he said, "Go thy way and show thyself to the priest." And as they were going, they looked down and they saw that they were healed. 9 went on to the priest and on to their families. They were so excited. But one leper stopped, didn't take one more step to the high priest. He returned back to Jesus, and he fell before him, and he thanked the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's recorded there for our learning, said, "Were there not 10? Where are the 9? Why did they not return to give thanks unto the Lord?" And then he says to this man who's at his feet, said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." What did that man give to Jesus? He was giving with thanks. He was giving with thanks. He went to the Lord. He stopped. He didn't even take the time to go to see the high priest where Jesus had told them to go. He came back. "I want to make sure I give thanks to the Lord." Have you ever looked at thanks as a gift? A gift to the Lord Jesus? I want us to look at this woman who encouraged Elisha, and then I want you to see how it came around back to her in her time of need. You know, the Lord is reciprocal. The Lord wants us to give, and He wants to give according. There's a principle given in the Word of God concerning planting and reaping, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Number one, giving with thanks will affect your reputation. Now, remember, there are 3 ways to give. 3 different ways to give. One is grudge giving. I have to. That's grudge giving. Then there is duty giving, which is I ought to. But then there's the best kind of giving. This is the kind of giving that ought to challenge us, and that's thanksgiving, or giving with thanks, and that means I want to. There's a big difference. I want to. First of all, I want you to see giving with thanks will affect your reputation. Notice that we read in verse 8 there, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food." Why did Elisha feel like he could go to her house? because she had a reputation. She gave with thanks. She had a reputation. This woman had a reputation for assisting God's man, and he felt comfortable going in there knowing that he was going to be welcome. What a testimony, giving with thanks. Number two, giving with thanks is seeing a need and meeting it. Seeing a need and meeting it. She said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly," the New King James Version says. What did she do? She said to her husband, "We need to build an addition on the top of our house." And notice the description of the details that are given to us about this little house on top of their house was going to be. She says to her husband, "I pray thee on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." She wanted to make sure every need was supplied for the man of God. She saw the need and she wanted to meet it. What a testimony. Giving with thanks. Giving with thanks. We read it in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Pastor Watt got into that particular passage in his study of 1 John chapter 3. And what a lesson it is to us. We need to have our eyes open so we can see the need. So we can give, how? With thanks. Number three, giving with thanks is purposeful. I want you to see this in the language. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman, this is from the Amplified Bible, who insisted on his eating a meal. Now we get a little more understanding of the Hebrew here. She said, "You're going to stay for dinner." You ever had that kind of a person come up, say, I think we would put Aunt Carolyn in that category. I've had a few opportunities to dine at her table over the years. And I just was wore out watching her go around the table. She'd say, "You got to have some more." And she would dish out another load of food onto your plate. And she insisted upon it. It wasn't like, "You know, I don't think I'll have another." No, you're going to have one. I want to make sure you're full to overflowing. Now, you know, whenever you leave a table like that, you don't walk away with your stomach growling. All right? It's a blessing. The Hebrew word and idea was that she wasn't going to take no for an answer. Some people ask that, "Well, if you need anything, call me." And when we're walking away, said, "I hope they don't call me." Yeah. "I hope they don't call me." Bless your heart. That's what Dr. Bill Hall always says. He said, whenever you hear that from a Southerner, bless your heart, it means they don't mean a word of what they're saying. Right? Bless her heart. You know, we have a responsibility to not just be big talkers, but be big givers. Giving with thanks. From the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, that great passage in the New Testament on giving, speaking of the Macedonians. This is what Paul said of them. Listen to the Amplified. "They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem." How did they want to give? They begged and they begged again and again for the privilege of helping out the poor saints there in Jerusalem. Now, that's the kind of giving that means something. Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a man that said, "You know, if I had $1 million, Dr. Hobbs, I'd give it to you in that school." And Dr. Hobbs was the type, he came right back, "Well, what you got in your wallet?" Yeah. Big talker, "Yeah, I reached that $1 million mark, I'm going to give you some money up in school." That's just idle talk. What does that mean when we do that? We're not begging again and again to help in that regard. We're just throwing out words that don't mean a whole lot. Giving thanks is purposeful. Number four, giving with thanks means giving your best. I've said this so many times. It's an amazing thing, and I'm sure the teach-outs could probably share some stories from their deputation days about how people will have something that's just war slap out. All right? Brother Bill Fonmiller wrote a book about all the things that he was offered. I've got a car that's got almost 500,000 miles on it, and I want to give it to you, brother. I just have been burdened. God just burdened me to give you this vehicle with 500,000 miles on it. He said they went out to it. They couldn't get the door open on the driver's side. Well, you got to get in on the passenger side. And so they crawled in on the passenger side, and he stuck the key in the ignition. And they said it rolled over, must have been 10 times, and finally fired up. And they said the smoke was so bad that they thought it was on fire. And that person, he said, as I looked out the window, as we were driving back to our hotel with our new car, he said he looked at him and the man was grinning ear to ear. He looked like a Cheshire cat. Well, we just gave a great blessing to that poor missionary. You know what? Shouldn't we ought to be giving our best? I'm not going to ask for an amen because I'm afraid some of you swallow your gum or your tongue would get choked up, you know. We don't mind giving away our junk. We don't mind giving away something that's just war slap out that we wouldn't give to our neighbor. We wouldn't give it to our family, but we'll sure give it to a missionary. Listen, giving with thanks means giving your best. What did she do? She not only said, "Husband, we need to build an addition, but we need to furnish it." All right? We need to make sure that our guest is well taken care of. That's what I take away from that passage. Give your best. Honor the Lord with thy substance, Proverbs says in chapter 3 and verse 9, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What are the first fruits? Grow a garden? That's the first picking. That's the best picking, by the way. That's whenever the beans are the freshest. It's the very first. You know, when you get on later in the season, we used to have to go scour over the plants before Dad would have us pull them up when we had our garden growing up. And I want to tell you, those string beans were tougher than nails. You ever tried to snap a rubbery string bean that was the last one? And we would chew through those things and Mom would boil them to death trying to get them softened up, you know. But we ate them anyway because that was the last picking. But they weren't like the first picking. And God doesn't want your last pickings. God wants your what? Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then number 5, giving with thanks brings a harvest from where you sowed your seed. Let me say that again. Giving with thanks brings a harvest from where you sowed your seed. I want you to see this. This woman did not have a selfish motive in her bones. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? That's what Elisha said to her. She didn't want anything in return. But when her need arose and her son was dead, she knew who to go to. She went to Elisha. And isn't it interesting how the story unfolds? God withholds from Elisha the knowledge of what has happened to the son. Gehazi, after Elisha gives the order to take his rod and lay it upon the child, does it work? No, it doesn't. Gehazi goes back and immediately said, I laid the rod, and the child did not awake. He's still there. And so God brings him up to that chamber, and there's the boy laying there. And it doesn't happen instantly, does it not? I mean, it takes a while. He prayed. He stretched himself out over the child. He got up again, walked around praying, went back again, and there did the same thing again, and then the child began to sneeze. It's interesting, the details that God gives about this particular healing there. It took some time. I think there were lessons there for not only the mother, but also for Elisha too. His first thing, well, just take my rod and go lay it upon the child. But that's not how God wanted it done. God made him go all the way back to that little chamber, to their house. And it was that mother too. Did you notice what she said? I'm not going to leave here without you. She understood and knew what was going to be required. God wants us to realize that the harvest comes from where you've sowed. The harvest comes from where you've sowed. If you're sowing in the world, you're going to reap the world. But if you're sowing for God's glory, then you're going to reap from that field. You're going to know the blessings and the grace and the mercy that God will bestow upon you because you've sowed in His field. It makes a big difference where you sow. You can sow in just about any place, but sometimes you sow on ground that's not worthy of the seed. This woman did not have a selfish bone in her body, but God took care of her, and God raised up her son. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But a farmer who sows, not sparingly, but puts the seed out, the Bible says he will reap abundantly. What a lesson. I want to close by reading 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. We talked about grudge and duty. But how? But giving as a cheerful giver. Giving with thanks. That's a cheerful giver. Someone that has a heart that wants to give. And so tonight, as we go to our prayer time, I hope that you'll go with the spirit of thanksgiving, taking this simple account that's given to us in the Old Testament, and learning and applying these lessons of giving with thanksgiving. Giving with thanks in your heart to the Lord. That little connecting word with is important. Not just giving grudgingly or out of necessity, but giving with thanks.